Today I'm continuing my series, but a couple of weeks ago I did a series and I asked people who had perfect attendance because I was going to give you a little prize. So if that's you, would you stand up? If you made it to every message in the, what was the name of that series, Let's Go? In the Let's Go series, if you made it to every message, I want you to come forward. I want to be a man of my word. I didn't want to do this on Easter Sunday, and I forgot to do it last week, but I didn't forget. Is that it? Okay, so the rest of you get B's in attendance. But this is a $10 gift card to Hat Creek Burgers. Now, is Larry Fletcher here? Larry, not here, maybe second service. So Larry's one of the managers at Hat Creek, and he gave us a lot of these to pass out. Who'd I forget over here? You got one? Diane, you got one? Now that the cards are being... I just remembered. No, stay up here. So anyway, make sure you tell Larry thank you, because those came from him. And thank you all for being faithful in your attendance and letting us have a little fun with it, okay? God will reward us when we do what's right. Come on. All right, y'all can be seated. If you remember, we started this new series, Walking in Love. Paul said that we should imitate God by walking in love. And so one day a man and his wife walked into the dentist's office, and the man told the dentist, he said, I've got a tea time in an hour. We need to have a tooth pulled. I don't have time for anesthesia. I just want it done quick because I need to make my tea time. And so the dentist is thinking, God, this guy must be really tough that he's not asking for anesthesia. He said, well, what tooth is it? And he looks to his wife. He said, honey, open your mouth and show him which tooth it is. Now, that is not the look of love. Would you agree with me today? So today we're going to talk about how does love look, right? Because love can look different ways, and we need to put our mouth into it, right? We need to speak love, and we need to act in love. And so today is part two. Last week I talked about the circle of love. If you remember last week's message, we first have to receive God's love, so that we have something in us to give back to God. We call that worship. And then also to love others. Today, I've titled this message, The Look of Love. Because love is more than a feeling. And I know a lot of times early in a relationship, people will say, I feel like I love this person, or I feel like I'm in love with this person. But today, I want you to, that love has a certain look. That love is actually action more than just words. You got to have the right heart behind it, but then what? Show me you love me. Don't just tell me you love me. So today we're going to see what Scripture says about the look of love, with the hope that we will love God and love people a little bit better than we are right now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth that keeps us headed in the right direction. And I pray, Holy Spirit, today you would speak to us about the look of love and how we can incorporate that into our daily living. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. It's in the New Testament. John was what they would call the beloved disciple, the apostle of love. He wrote about love a whole lot. At the Last Supper, it was John who sat closest to Jesus. And if you remember, he was the one that said, whoever wants in the picture, sit on this side of the table. But I want to start with John chapter 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you... Say it with me. Love one another. He has commanded us and encouraged us and written to us to love one another. That's very clear. But what does love look like? And so I want to share with you three main thoughts, but thought number two has a few sub-points if you're following along with your sermon notes page. Hopefully we'll track together here. But if you're taking notes, what does love look like? Number one, love is unconditional. It doesn't have any conditions. It shouldn't have any conditions, but who knows, it does. Yeah, it does. That's just human nature. If we're going to love others the way Jesus loves us, we need to get rid of the conditions. And that's hard to do, but it is possible to do, right? Very seldom are random acts of kindness random. They need to be intentional, right? A lot of us, we give in order to what? Get something back. We invite people who invited us. We sow to reap, right? And so we see the benefits in something, and so we want that, so we're going to do whatever is necessary to get that. But my question is, can we just do it regardless of whether we get something back in return? That's a true test of love. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He went all in. He laid it all down, knowing that he may not get it all back in return from people like us. While we were still sinners and living messed up lives, he decided to love us so much that he was going to die for us anyway. And now we have a choice to accept that love gift and love him back or not. In Luke 14, verse 12, says, the next time you put on a dinner or a party, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited, the misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. By the way, this is the Message version. You'll be and experience a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Oh, how it will be returned. I love that. They may not repay you, but who will? God will. When he sees your act of kindness, your act of love, he will bless you for it, right? In other words, Jesus was telling the disciples in his day to check your motives, to check your motivation, to make sure they're right when you decide to love people, right? And then God will be faithful to reward you. And so let me ask you here at the beginning, what is your motivation for loving others? Are you motivated to love? Is it conditional? Or is it unconditional? You know, I think most of us say, well, for the most part, probably conditional, but I could work on it being more unconditional. That's the purpose of today's message, is moving forward. Why don't you test yourselves to see if you can love others without expecting anything in return? And let God work on that in you. Amen? So here's number two. So number one, love is unconditional. Number two, love is an action. It's an action, not just a thought. It's an action, right? Actions speak louder than words. James said, faith without works is dead. I think the same could be said about love. Love without action is dead. And so we have to put actions behind it. Parents, do you tell your kids, I love you? Yeah. How do you show it? Well, every day, right? Kids, do you love your parents? Okay, how do you show it? I know a lot of kids that say, Mom, I love you, Mom, I love you, Mom, I love you. And we're all guilty of this. We really say it when we need them to do something for us. But what about just telling them, I love you, without them expecting anything in return? And then why don't you show it by saying, you know, Mom, tonight I think I'll do dishes for you so you can go rest and relax. Why don't you show them your love? Now listen. God's watching this. And I believe that God will see your act of love unconditional. And I believe he'll bless you for it. And it may be in an area that you weren't even aware of that you needed to be blessed in. And so just know this, God always has your back when you do what's right and you do it for him. You don't just do it for others. Amen? So love is action. If we're going to walk in love the way Jesus did, how did Jesus treat people? You know, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Well, I'm going to take it up a notch. Do unto others what Jesus has already done for you. Now, see, it's not based on what they do. It's based totally on what God's doing. Because God loves me unconditionally, I choose, it's my choice, to love other people. And my goal is to love them unconditionally. That's the goal. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 is referred to as the love chapter. Who in here had 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding, or you've heard it read at weddings? It is a bullet list of actions. I want to read it again. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to take this verse and make it visible this week and just kind of see how many of these I'm doing good at and how many do I need to work on so I can love better. Because this is how love looks. It says, verse 4, love is patient. You always wonder why he starts off with patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. You know, that's one of the reasons we have relationship issues is because we're wanting to seek our own benefit in the relationship instead of seeking what's best for the other person. It's not provoked. It does not keep an account of wrongs suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then what are the last three words? Love what? Never fails. Unconditional agape love never fails. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but I've had love fail me in my past. It wasn't unconditional love. It was a love relationship you probably had. There were some conditions. The conditions didn't get met, and you got dropped or you dropped them. That's the kind of love that will fail. But God's love, God's unconditional surrendering agape love will never fail. Philippians 1:9 says this, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding for what I want you to understand, what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. God wants us to grow in our love for others so that our lives and the lives of others will be blessed. Now, part of this action, I'm going to go kind of down this list kind of quick if you want to take a few notes. Number one, love is being content. Not being envious, not being jealous. It doesn't want what it doesn't have, and it doesn't resent what other people have. God's 10th commandment says, you shall not covet. You shall not want something that someone else has. That's not love. Love is saying, God, you've blessed me enough. I'm happy. I'm content right where I am. Praise God that you're blessing my friends and my family. But thank you for blessing me. So we need to learn to be content. If we allow envy or jealousy to continue, then it leads to sin. Love is being happy with what you have and being happy with what others have. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes we get jealous of what other people have. And we have this thought, God, why aren't you blessing me the way you're blessing them? I'm much more godly than they are. Is that the love of God? Number two, love is being humble. You got to be humble to be able to be content. Not arrogant or boastful or prideful. Love doesn't think it's better than everyone else. Love doesn't think I'm better than everybody else or that my ideas are better. People that think they're always right are usually pretty lonely because, well, people can't stand to be around them long. So I'm sharing this with you for you to do what Tammy said, just to look inside, look inward and say, hey, is there a reason that I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing. It might be a blessing because you are doing things right, and it may not be a blessing because you're not doing things right. And so this is a time for us all to look inward to see, how is my love motivator? And are there some adjustments I can make to make things better? Love is showing respect. Love and respect go together, don't they? Being kind and polite, not being rude. Using good manners. You know, going back to the basics of things we know, but sometimes we forget them. Treating your spouse the way you treat your boss. Have you noticed that sometimes we're more kind and we're more loving to people outside of our family than our own family? That's not right. I love what Steve said. You know, our first call to love and minister is to our own family. We have company over. We're more respectful to our company than we are each other. That's not right. And so love is showing respect. And doing so, listen. And I'm guilty of this, I'll go ahead and tell you. When nobody's looking. Oh, I can be so respectful of Tammy when we have friends over. But are we that way when there's no audience? Are we that way when it's just the two of us? Are we mutually respectful and loving to one another? There's some homework for all of us, right? And then love is keeping peace. Not stirring up trouble, causing strife and division, but keeping unity in our community by doing whatever we can to avoid arguing and fighting. And I'm not saying don't confront issues, but just confront the issues with a loving and respectful approach. Anger is an emotion. It's not always wrong to feel anger, but it's how you express it. If you let it get out of control, it can lead to sin, and that's when it's wrong. I love what James 1:19 says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Here at our church, we have a ministry called John 10:10 that helps people with their anger issues. And so if you have an anger issue from something that maybe has traumatized you in your earlier life, and you know you're that person, you will tell yourself, I don't know why I get so angry about stuff like that. And sometimes they'll say, and it's over small stuff. I just don't know why I just go off on small stuff. We have a ministry that will help you get free of that, where that's not a problem in your life anymore. But you got to sign up for the class. And you got to pursue God and ask God, God, would you help me deal with my anger issue? Or whatever issue it is. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is possible to have self-control and not let your anger spew out onto others. Love is forgiving others. Walking in love really is synonymous with walking in forgiveness. Walking in forgiveness. That's another thing that we teach at our John 10:10. Maybe the reason you're angry in life is because someone did you wrong and it hurt you and you've never forgiven them and you're operating out of the anger that they inflicted. Well, there's help for that. There's ministry for that. You can get free from that if you want. So love is unconditional. Love is an action. Love is a verb. I see Van, you're throwing me off. You're sitting over here on the wrong side. You're normally over here. I get my cues when I look over. I'm thinking, where's Van today? And there's right over there. What was the Christian band that sang that? Was it the Newsboys? Love is... Huh? DC Talk. Love is a verb. I remember that. I just didn't remember who sang it. So love is unconditional. Love is an action. And number three, love is an attitude. Loving others is a choice, but it's still a decision you have to make. It's like clothing. You have to, what? Put it on. You don't just walk into your closet and your clothes jump on you. You got to decide to put on your clothes. You got to decide to put on love. At the beginning of every day, a good prayer would be, Lord, would you clothe me in your love? Would you clothe me in your forgiveness? Would you clothe me in your peace and your joy? So you're intentionally putting it on. It's your attitude to which you start your day. Lord, today I'm going to go throughout my day and I'm going to look for ways to love people unconditionally. I just want to serve people the way you served me. And then the Lord will bless you. You don't have to look for a blessing by those you bless. The Lord will take care of that for you. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's what motivates me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, say it with me, put on love. Notice it says you got to put it on. It doesn't just happen naturally. You got to put it on, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Yes, it's an action, but it's also an attitude. Love is something that you don't have to do. It's something you should want to do. If I truly love you, I should want to pray for you. If I truly love you, I should want to respect you, not be rude to you. If I truly love you, I should want to make up quickly and not stay mad at you. The greatest obstacle, the biggest barrier to loving God and loving people the right way is, I would say, pride. Self-centeredness, selfishness. That's the biggest reason. And so the only way to overcome that is for you to press into God and say, God, would you help me change? Would you let me hear the message today from your word? And Holy Spirit, I want you to confirm what I've heard, and I give you permission to help me self-inspect and the things I'm doing right. Would you continue to motivate me to continue doing that? And then in the areas where I could love better, love God, love you better, love people better, would you remind me of those things and let me be more aware of how my love looks to you and to others? Amen? And so if you would, the question I asked every week is, what do you hear God saying to you about the look of love? I think of is it Men's Warehouse? They say you're going to love the way you look. Well, are you? Do you love the way you look? Does your love look good? Or could it look better? I think most of us could say it could look better. So this week, why don't we work on loving people better and just continue to give God permission to work on our hearts in that. So a couple of questions here. When you stop and consider how you treat people, what kind of a reflection does that give? When you look in the mirror and you look at how you love people, what do you see? If we could just live those four verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think we'd make an incredible improvement on how we love, huh? And then what needs to change in you for that to happen? Can we make it our prayer? Lord, change me in this way. Change me in this area. Just go back through the list and say, would you show me the ones I'm doing well, and would you show me the ones I need to do better so I can love people the way you love me? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us about love and the way love looks. Thank you for loving us the way you did. There's no greater love than the love you have for us. And so, Lord, today we ask that you would help us inspect our love tank, inspect our hearts, to see what might be blocking some of the love that you put in us to give out to others. And that we'd be focused and we would work on that. We would be better at loving you and loving people. If you're here this morning or watching online, if you would just stay in an attitude of prayer. I want to go back to that love cycle or that love circle. You can't love the way I've just shared from Scripture without God's love being in you. You might be able to come close, but it's a lot of effort when you don't have the love of God motivating you to love the way He did. It's a lot of work, and it's not really fun. You're having to try. It's more of a love formula. And it shouldn't be a love formula. It should just be an attitude. It should be a mindset. And so for those that might be here or watching online that have never received God's love so that you can love Him back and love others, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're here with us today in the house, I want you to raise your hand if you're saying, you know what, I've never received God's love gift of forgiveness for my sin. And I need to do that today. I need to start. That's the starting place for me. I need God's love in me so I can give it back out to others. Anybody in the house today that have never asked God to forgive you for your sin and receive His loved gift? Maybe watching online, I don't know, I can't see your hand, but if that's you, would you just pray this prayer with me? And of course, in the house, let's just pray it again so we're sure that we're in the right place. Amen. Just say this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your great love that you demonstrated, that you showed me. It was an action that you chose to take by giving your life up on the cross so I wouldn't have to. Thank you, Jesus. There's no greater love than what you've already shown me. And I want that love in me. I want a greater level, a greater measure of love in me, and that can only come from you. So yes, Jesus, I open up my heart and I invite you in to be the Lord of my life. I want you to sit on the throne of my life, not me. And I want to say thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. And in return, I'm going to love you back. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to worship you the best way I know how. And I'm going to love others the way you love me and the way you love them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.